They says it like this: Ki ani echbaliti es libay ben sleiva vodov leman shisa yisrael bekirboy uleman tesape bozni bincho ben bincho esa shez lad b'mitzrayim. Seems to be the two reasons for the makus. Second reason, leman tesape uleman, means it's another reason. Tesape bozni bincho ben bincho esa shez lad b'mitzrayim. For the first reason, leman shisa yisrael bekirboy. Paroi is the reason for the Makkos. And we need to understand and explore the character of Paroi, the anti-hero. Why was he so important? What was he? Who was he? That Ribbono Shel Olam, God thought it proper to deal with Paroi, to talk to Paroi. Who was he? And what midah, what can we learn, if you like, and I would put it like this, the Paroi within ourselves. What could we see from Paroi? Later on, we find in Makas Becheiros, Nehi Bechatzi Alaylo, Vayokom Paroi Lailo. So it says, Rashi brings down a very famous, it's become a children's song, Paroi bepijama b'emtza alayla. Paroi's wearing his pajamas in the middle of the night, he went to bed. He got out of his bed. So Chazal tell us, he was an apikoiras, he didn't believe, how could he go to sleep? Lailo, veloi kederech hamalochim b'sholei shois b'yoim. Rashi says, from the Mechilta, not like melochim who get up at 3 hours in the day. That's why we have krishma, sholei shois, the time of the day we have krishma, sholei shois, because that's when b'nei melochim, that's when melochim get up. Although there's a Ramban Gemara in Brachos that tells us they actually wake up at three and they sort of stay awake in bed for quite a while. That's what Melochim do. And of course a lot of Yeshiva Bachrim following in the footsteps. B'nai Melochim, they call themselves Man Malki Rabbonon. They have this we call it excuse, this goal to act like kings. 3 hours in a day, that's a melech. Now, if you think about it, why are we talking about that over here? We're talking about Makkos Bechoros. Makkos Bechoros is the climax, the peak of all the Makkos, where finally Paroi gives in, where we get to the core of Paroi, his Bechor. All the Makkos, there's a defoliation, if you like, of Paroi, getting closer and closer to who he is, who he really is. And this is it, Makkos Bechoros, this great Makko. Says Rashi, you got up in the middle of the night, not like other kings got up at Sholei Shois. What's he does? What does that mean? Like a derech melochim, we got up at Sholei Shois. So, I would like to explain it as follows. Like a derech melochim, we get up at Sholei Shois. What is Paroi's midah? And what should be the midah of a melech? And here we need, if you like, to think a little bit deeper, a little bit more, if you like, psychologically about midas. Paroi, in last week's Haftorah, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu again talks to Paroi over there. He says, Paroi, who is like the Tanin HaGodl, Tanim HaGodl, Roi Beitz B'Tzoich Yorov, beautiful metaphor, this is wonderful imagery. The large reptile, crocodile, whatever you want to call it, who is crouched in the middle of his rivers, Ashaoma li yorivani asisini. I am the river, or it's my river, aniasisini, and some say it means, and I created myself. Not only I created the river, I created myself. And hago atmechem, let's think this out logically. Paroi proclaims himself as a deity, he's a god. So he says, ani asisini, I created myself. But that is a paradox. If you're a god, you don't create yourself. You are uncreated. You're the prime mover. You are before time. You are kadmoi. What does Paroi mean? And he has his city. Some say it means he created himself. That's a stira. That's a contradiction in terms. And let's even go a little bit, look at a different facet. We all know, all of us, when we read the Medrash says, and we've heard our comic Bibles we've read, we all know that Paroi, when it says, that Moshe says, Moshe Ben, go down to Paroi, he's by the Yor every morning. Why is he by the Yor? Because man's got to do what a man's got to do. That's why he's by the Yor every morning. That's where Paroi was, being a human being. And my question is, so what did Paroi actually think about himself? Li Yori, I'm a god, I'm a deity. What did he think when he had to do what a man has to do, so to speak, every morning? What did he think to himself? Is he a god or not a god? And the answer is, for half an hour a day, Paroi was a human being. And for 23.5 hours a day, Paroi was a god. It's a stira. It doesn't make sense. But no, a klal god or a boisai. There are no stiras in midas. Midas do not function with logic. Midas have their own language. And the language of a midah is, I can be a god for 23.5 hours a day because I'm a Baal Gaiva, and for half an hour a day, it doesn't matter. I ignore it, I pass over it, I forget it. It could even be when he was crouched down there, he also thought he was a god. I can't be, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, it can't be, but I am a god. And that's very, very important, your sight number one, to understand how to deal with a midah. You come at a midah with logic, it won't work, because a midah has its own logic. A midah works with its own instincts, with its own body language. It's a different oilom, midas. And someone who tries to use his seichel, tries to use pure logic, when he's working on a midah, it won't work. We have many, many examples of that. Just a very quick one off the bat, as they say, a quick one. Or a quick technique of working on midas. I remember by Oyn Ben Peles' wife, Chochmas Isha Bonsa Beso. She was a very smart woman. So we have two midrashim, we have two inyonim where it says Chochmas Isha Bonsa Beso. One is that she sat at the doorstep, she took off her shadel, a tizzle, and her Korach and his company or his cohorts didn't approach. It's one Chochmah. The other Chochmah was she told Korach at the time of the rebellion of Korach, Oyn Ben Peles' wife, he was sleeping, he said he put him to sleep, she put him to sleep, sorry. That he shouldn't join in, but she had an argument with him and she told him, Oyn, or Oni, whatever she used to call him, nickname, etc., my little Oyn. She said to him, what are you going to gain over here? What are you now? You're second lieutenant, if you go with Korach. And what are you by Moshe Ben? You're also second lieutenant. So what do you gain? Sheval Taisa, stay still, you're not going to gain any covered out of it. The question is, so why didn't she tell him the truth? Korach is an upstart. Moshe Rabbeinu brought it out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu did everything. He brought down the Mon, he brought the Luchos, he was the Goyel Yisrael, and this week's parash, he did every single thing. Who's Korach? Of course Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, right, in Korach's mom. And the answer is, because that's logic. That's helpnish. You argue with covered with logic, it's not going to help. He wanted covered. So she's not going to help by saying, but you fool. Moshe's right, Korach's wrong, I'll bring you 100 wives, doesn't matter how many wives. I want covered. Covered has its own logic. So she worked with covered, so she said, well, listen, within covered, you're not going to get covered. Your tack is covered, no problem. That is the eitzah to work with a midah. Gaiva's a midah called Gaiva. You have to work with Gaiva with its own dynamic, with its own theories, with its own language. You can't work with seichel with Gaiva. Paroi was a god. He goes down to the everyday, doesn't matter. I'm Baal Gaiva, I'm a god. But what we see, and this is mamish astonishing and amazing, we see the koyach of a midah, and in this particular midah of Gaiva, how powerful, how strong, and how long-lasting it is. And in every single part, it bubbles up in every part of one's personality. I remember looking, just we just said Yom Kippur Kotel, those who say Yom Kippur Kotel. I was reading the vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim. And he goes like this. Misvadani lefonecho Hashem lekai bechvifas roish bechvifas koyma bechnias choil bechalishus koyach beshvirus leiv benemichus ruach bekeido bechriya bishtachavo beemo bivaso beretzis bezeo bechilchu beyirav amarim. Some of those are perhaps referring to Yirav, but most of them are referring to Kniel. Why is that the use of the Shonis? What does it mean? Kvifas roish, kvifas koimo, knias choil, chalishus koyach, shvirus leiv, nemichus ruach, bekeido bechriya bishtachavo. At least 9 lashonis of humbling oneself. Why? So many lashonis. One's enough. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the name of Rabbeinu Shalom, says to Paray, Ad mosai me anto leonois mi ponai, shalach amiv yavduni. Zogt Rashi, leonois ketagum eliskano, vimigzeres oni, mi anto liois oni vishofel mi ponai. You refuse to be an oni. You refuse to humble yourself, to submit. How long is it going to take to do something to you, to make you really humble? To really be moider? There's the Rabbein Shalom, and you're nothing. How long is it going to take? If you look, when Klal Yisrael go out, Paray says the following. I mean, one of the great amazing scenes I have from all the Makos in Paray is Makas Tzfadea. Tzfadea was one of the most irritating, nerve-wracking, positively unrestful Makos. Something which Mamish drove a person mad. A Tzfadea in everything. Put your barefoot in the night when you're going somewhere, into a slipper, just feeling your way in the dark, and there's a Tzfadea there. That's terrible. Over here, Tzfadea is over here, over there, Mamish, every single place in the oven. There's no stay in the Medrash, it was driving them crazy. Paray comes along and says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's boy like, I can't daven, because that's too humbling. You daven. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, spoiler. So tell me when you want it to stop. Paray should have said, Paray should have said, no! I can't stand it. Paray doesn't. Paray's body language is like this. Tomorrow. He's masculine. He understands the Rabbein Shalom. He understands the Makkah. He understands he's losing the battle. But he can't say, no! Tomorrow. Folds his hand. Tomorrow I'm okay, you know, it's okay. Wait another day, Nishpelech, not the end of the world. Tomorrow, he's babbling with frogs, and everyone's babbling with frogs. Tomorrow, I'm not going to be Nichna. When Moshe Rabbeinu takes them out, says like this, Kumu, Tzumi Toichami, says Paroi. Gam atem, gam bnei Yisroel, luchu ibnus Hashem kedaberchem, gam tzoynchem, gam bekarachem, kru. Again, it's an interesting lotion Rashi brings down. Gam tzoynchem, gam bekarachem, kru. Mahu kashe dibatem. Gam atotitem yodein, etc., etc. What does it say like this? Botel lo yashalach, botel mi v'mi v'holchim, botel va tzoynchem, ubekarachem yutzo. What does Paray have? Paray is being beaten. He's being beaten all over the place. It's being destroyed. The whole land's being destroyed. So he says like this, I'll let you go, but I want to keep the bottle. I want to keep the soil. Why does he say that? Stars for them. They'll come back for it. They need it for their worship and so on and so forth. But the Ikas for it is because he wants to be king of the cows. If I can't be king of the Jews, and I can't be your master, so leave at least the cows, because then I'm still a king. I'm still going to have something. I'm still going to be a king. I remember I told them in yeshiva once, I had a next door neighbor who had a little kid who was fighting a much older boy. Much bigger bully. Bigger boy than himself. And he lost. Big boy sat on his head. Right? So he sat on him on his knees, so to speak, like that. And he'd beaten him. And this little face of this little, beaten little kid, my friend's son, was just sticking out over there, between his legs like that. And he beat him. But this little kid was making a face and going, ha 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 ha. I'm still there. I'm still around. I'm still Paray. I'm still Melech HaBoko. Give me something. Bottle. Ad Mosai. When are you going to be Anto? The actual shiflus really get down to it that you are nothing. And that takes, it's a defoliation process of Paray. It takes everything. All the Makkas, right down to the last one, right down, and then even then Paro has to say, go, everything go. I don't have, because Gaiva is a Midah which pops up everywhere. If you're not the king of the castle, you make your own little castle. If you're not the king of outside, you're king in your house. If you're not over here, you're over there. The I inside a person, the ego inside a person will pop up in everything. So I'm not the best at learning, but I'm good at football. So I'm the king of football. So I'm good at king of football. No, I'm a good businessman. Etc. etc. There has to be the I somewhere. And Paro shows us how every time he kept coming back. I mean, it's a medrash pliya. Next week's parsha. What happens in next week's parsha? Again, he comes back. He's completely destroyed, down and out. He's finished. But then he comes back. That tells us something. The middle of the ego. It'll always be there. And it'll always bubble up. And if it's like a balloon, squeeze it in one place, it's going to pop up in another. And that's the limud we have from Paroi. This neurotic amida, this neurotic power inside ourselves to resist, to always try and retain authority, to be somebody. To be somebody. To be the king. To be in charge. I remember my father was Yisrael Vach, used to say a little story with someone who's who had a shrew. The wife was a shrew, and she wanted to show off how she was in charge of her husband. Albert. A fellow called Albert. That's what I remember his name. He had a blighted moustache, you know. Knobbly knees, no muscles, etc. Hardly any chin. He was a very little, sort of puny little fellow. And she was in charge of him, so she once got her gossip group, had a coffee group with her women, wanted to show how she's in charge of Albert. And so she calls Albert in. Albert comes in, like that, little Albert. Albert, stand on the table. Albert, stand on the table. Albert, do a handstand. Albert, handstand. Albert, go on your knees. Albert goes on his knees. Albert, go under the table. So he goes under the table. And they're all looking, all the women. Just mamisha shoylet, and she, wow, this is well, kalavai, my husband, etc., etc. A lot of jealous noise over here, etc. Then she says, Albert, come out. So you've got to imagine the scene. There's a whole pack of ladies sitting around this table. And Albert pokes his head outside, little head, little blighted head under the table, and he says to her, I won't, I'll show you who's boss. And if you think about it, that's Paro. I won't, I show you who's boss. I'm not going to let the tzoyin go. I'm not going to let the boko. I resist the whole time. No, you don't think of quick. Now if you think about it, real Malthus, and we look at it, one as opposed to the other, and if I could do this very quickly, if you hold tight, give you a little bit of a mimer over here. Shtekin Chazal, all times finished. 5 bars? That's 10. Chazal tell us that Kodesh Baruch was Mashpia Gedulo, both to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Paro. Mashpia Gedulo means he gave them both greatness. Yet there's a trigger. The trigger is called a Koros HaToyim. It's a very small trigger. It's like a railway siding. You can go this way or that way. If you turn the points, then you go this way, and if the points go that way. Akash Baruch gave Gedulah. Paro, he got the Gedulah, and because he didn't have this middah to be maki as mako, as we find the first thing we know about Paro, Sheloi, is Yosef. He didn't know Yosef, he wasn't maki Yosef. That's the first thing we hear about Paro. But Yoko Melech Hodosh! So he's not maki. What's Pshat? Pshat is like this. You get Gedulah. You get greatness. You're given greatness. But what do you say? So you get bloated. It's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. You get bigger and bigger. Until you become a god. That's Paro. The exaggerated greatness of Paro with his guy, it's me, it's me. That's the bleater. That's the boilet. Yoko Melech Hodosh on the tzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu has a Koros HaToyv. And that switch says like this. The more gedulah I get, the more I'm makir how great God is, the one who gave me the gedulah. And therefore, the more gedulah there is, the more I feel lower, the more anova I have, l'umas, the person who gives me the gedulah, I remain shloilam. So therefore, the same process, the same ashpah of gedulah, going in exactly the same way to Paro and Moshe, giving him gedulah, making them great. One of them is going to swell up and bloat up like a frog, and one of them is going to humble and realize who gave me that. And if you go even further back, Malchus in Yisrael, who was the Shevet who was so good to be a Melech in Yisrael? Yehuda. Not Aaron. State that Aaron, because the Hashinoi took the Malchus from Yehuda. That's why they didn't have a lasting dynasty. They took it. Why did Yehuda was over? You know why Yehuda was over the mountains? A very simple Maisa. It's a Maisa of Tomah. And Yehuda has a Kisholon. The Bnei Shalom organized it. He has a mitzvah. He has a failure, so to speak. And he has Yachasim with Tomah. Comes along Yehuda with his cheshbonus of a melech. I am a melech. I am the king of the Jews. I am the shape of the Malchus. It's a Kiddush Hashem. I've got a cheshbonus. Why I should not be Moida? Because if I'm Moida, then every year we're going to lay the Parsha of Tomer again and again and again. If I'm not Moida, it's going to be something hidden. No one's going to know about it. Why should I be Moida? You have cheshbonus and cheshbonus and cheshbonus. She's high misa anyway, and so on and so forth. All in halacha, of course. But he's a melech. And she says, Hake Baracho, Hake Lemia Psidim Bachlistemis. And Rashi says from Chazal, Hake Baracho Ba'al Ta'abit Cholish and Foshes. Recognize God. Recognize God. Be Maki Toyta Kuchbok. Who is the master of the world? Rabbanishlim. Now, if you look at it from that perspective, you're a melech. What is a melech? A melech is to be mekayem HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. It's only part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And if you look at it like that, you see there are three people going to die because of you. Look at it in that perspective. In other words, do exactly the opposite of a cheshbon, of Kiddush Hashem, so to speak. And through that, he became the melech. Through the cheshbon of not being a melech, that means you can humble yourself. After you do ha'achecho, he's the one who is moida. He's the one who's makir v'yishlut. He's makir. He is tolerant. He's dependent. He's part of another world. That is ha'koros ha'toyti. Makir v'yish bohu. To be makir that I owe. That it's not me. I'm not the beginning. I am in his world. Hakim v'rach, there's a boy there, and I'm the nivro. That's haro. He's makir v'yish leilu. That, you can be a melech. That's Yehuda. You can be a melech. And the danger of being a king without that is you start taking over. And even the Hashmonaim, that's what happened to them. Yaron Malchuson had to stand up when it came, and he couldn't sit down because he was a king. When kingship takes you over, then you're not a melech. Malchus is only in the Malchus of Rabbeinu Shloilam. Shem Moluch Geus Lovish. You're part of Rabbeinu Shloilam's Malchus. That's Yehuda's job, is to make everyone back in the Bairoilam. That's Malchus in Klal Yisrael. Parai had that gaiva, that non-akoros atoim. It wasn't maki, he owed anyone anything. It's me. It's me. And he became a god with steerers, a god with gaiva, etc. That's Parai. But that shows us, Rabbeisai, the musa we get from that, apart from the fact that in Midas there is no seichel, and you can't work against Midas with seichel, the musa you get is what does gaiva do to a person? It can take a person completely out of this world, make a person totally nonsensical. And it pops up again and again. It bubbles up. You squash it down over here. It comes up over there. I, me, the ego. This is me. This is what I've done. This is what I do. This is what I do in this world. It's how I do in the world. What I live in this world. It's my world and so on. That's the musa we get from Paroi. About Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's a to learn and there's a to zog, and there's a lot to say about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But let's look at the antagonist. Zenu Maseh, the grace of Algaiva Paroi, the grace on of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how we are going to be Zoicha to Gula. That's how you're Zoicha to Gula. When you realize it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gula. And if we work on ourselves in that middah, and not say so many times a day the word I, and that's the Musa. Not to say so many times a day the word I, or we for that matter, if you want to use the word we. If you work on that, then maybe we can start reducing our egocentric world, creating a theocentric world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and he'll bring us a gula shleimo b'meirah.